Tomorrow I leave the country, out beyond our national boundaries, to places far away, and I've had to spend time preparing, and if truth be told, I'm still preparing, and I'll go home tonight and finish preparing, getting ready for not only daily work and life far from the comforts of home, but also preparing for, at least trying to prepare for eventualities that I cannot foresee. And one of the things that I will always have with me there that I don't really pay much attention to in my day-to-day world here is this. It's my passport. This is actually an expired one because I was afraid I might leave it here tonight. It has my name, of course, my home country, but also the places I've been. Registered by marks on the page. You know what they look like. Stamps of ink, simple or ornate, that mark my journeys and tell me that although a stranger, I have rite of passage. They mark my going out and my coming in, my moving beyond and my returning. When you travel, you realize how important these marks really are because people can become stranded in some distant land because they don't have the permit to pass in order to move on or to return home. The marks are only pen and ink, but they refer to a deeper authority and order and treaties and understandings. On this Ash Wednesday, we find ourselves far from home. We've wandered and drifted until we discover that we are in another land entirely. Our feet are turned away from the land of promise. Our thoughts and our actions betray our citizenship. We have ignored the words of the psalmist. We have forgotten the Lord's benefits. We have ignored too often his mercy. We forget that he has removed our sins. And although he remembers that we are but dust, we have forgotten. And in that, we are lost. But the season ahead of us that we enter today by a mark on the forehead is a time to return. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Sometimes we think we've gone out so far we can't return. Or we fool ourselves into thinking that we're still at home. We haven't gone very far. Or we've tried so many times to come home that we're not sure one more go will make any difference. That's why we need this season. That's why we need to enter the wilderness with Jesus to get our bearings again and to follow him where he is leading. Some don't like the idea of Lent. It's too heavy. It's too dark. It's too focused on sin, on deprivation and need. But life's already like that. It's already full of struggle and difficulty all around us. It's full of injustice that we have ignored, love that has been withheld, repentance that has not been offered. So we're just getting honest. We hear the truth about our waywardness, and we have to know how far we've really come if we are to have any hope of getting home. We need a brave and direct diagnosis, and if we listen carefully and are willing to look closely, we will have it. And with it will come a remedy, the way to return to renewed life and vitality with God and our brothers and sisters. Some have suggested we just drop the word Lent. What does that mean anyway, and who knows? And replace it with the season of the cross. That's not bad, except that the cross isn't the whole story that we are treading in the weeks ahead. Lent is just the first part of what Robert Weber has called the cycle of life. Yes, the hard disciplines of dying to ourselves and clinging to the cross of Jesus. But then the glories of the resurrection and Pentecost and vocation. Because returning home isn't just about getting through the desert. It's about a destination. It's about a joyful place of promise in the end. It's about entering the kingdom as sons and daughters. And while today we focus on our distance from that, we're not to lose sight of where we're headed. There is hope, and there is promise, but that answer comes after we have turned back toward our true home and set our compass for the Lord's city. How can we ever hope to do this? I suggest four spiritual disciplines that ring down through the centuries and that unite Lenten pilgrims from throughout time and across the world. They're simple. They are holy reading, prayer, fasting, and serving the poor. The poor can be those who simply don't have a voice. They can be the stranger. They can be ourselves, if truth be known, some of us. And we all have the poverty of spirit that if we look, we can find that through the Lord. And we do this service of reading, prayer, fasting, and serving, not individually, but as people together in community. Commitment to these disciplines renews our journey home today. We are far from home. Our journey in Lent will lead us back to the Father, of intimacy with Him and His people, back to righteousness and peace, back to true rejoicing, back to the cross and the empty tomb. And in this journey ahead, we will pray, we will encourage each other, we will receive encouragement, we will set others free, even as we are being set free ourselves. And that journey begins with a mark, a dirty smudge in the shape of a cross that says, "You cannot do this yourself. It's mine to accomplish as you come home to me." That mark is our stamp, if you will. Though we are far from home, we have safe passage through this land until we reach the borders of the city of promise. It marks our realization that we're a long way from where we need to be and want to be. It's a mark that we are His citizens and that He will bring us home because of the deeper marks that He bears. Lent is not about just trying to do better, because we've tried that. Transformation is God's work in us, and that is more about surrender than work. It's about turning and returning. There's work to be done, but it's the empowering work of the Spirit in us, through us, that will allow us to discover again fresh ways to walk this season together. It's ultimately God's promise in us. Lent is a journey, and we will move. We will turn from storing our treasures here to placing them where they cannot be corrupted. We will begin to rebuild. We will mark the Lord's goodness. We will feed the hungry. We will turn around and head home. We will grow in love. So let it begin. Let us receive this mark tonight, to remember that we are dust, and to remember another mark received at our baptism, made in water and oil, that declared we are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own. And as we journey, He goes with us. Amen.